You're listening to The Phil Nason Show, presented by Swag, Screen and Textile.
Drive! Deep to left field! On a hair! Swung on! Hit high! Hit deep to right! This ball!
There's a breaking ball in for a strike, and he stood there like the house by the side of the road and watched it go by. Struck him out.
A deep drive to right center. They won't need to pitch one more here.
Right-hander against the right-hander. The outfield is straight up and deep on Fielder. He is the DH today. Swing, there's a drive to left. That one is long gone.
Welcome to the Phil Nason Show!
Greetings and welcome to the Phil Nason Show. For you first-time listeners, I'd like to welcome you and thank you for listening, and for you regular listeners out there, thanks so much for coming over each and every day, taking the time to download the show, to listen to the show, and to send me your feedback. For those of you who are new to the show, the Phil Nason Show is a sports show primarily dedicated to baseball in general and the New York Mets in particular. But once a week, we do talk about the NBA, as well as the National Hockey League, tennis, the National Football League, boxing, and any other sport that makes news to us. And to broaden our horizons, we sometimes invite recording artists and even a politician or two to the show. It's a good show. It's a lot of different diversity, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy this one in particular. On Tuesday, March 21st, the NFL handed down one of the most serious suspensions known to professional sports. I've not recently seen anyone or any league suspend a head coach for an entire year. And it's labeled as New Orleans Saints Bounty Gate. But what I want to do for you folks who are listening from Europe who aren't familiar with this scandal, what I'm going to do is unpack it. And then I'm going to introduce the guest tonight to help us to talk about this scandal. The New Orleans Saints bounty scandal, widely dubbed Bounty Gate, was an incident in which several defensive players on the National Football League's New Orleans Saints were found to have operated a slush fund that paid out bonuses or bounties for in-game performance in violation of NFL rules. The pool was in operation from the year 2009, of which the Saints won the Super Bowl that year, to 2011, till the end of this last season. Among other things, players earned bonuses for deliberately knocking opposing players out of games. The NFL began investigating the Saints in 2010 in response to allegations of deliberate attempts to injure players during the 2009-2010 playoffs, but the investigation stalled until late in the 2011 season. On March the 2nd, 2012, the NFL announced that it had evidence that between 22 and 27 New Orleans Saints players, as well as former defensive coordinator Greg Williams, pooled their own money to pay out performance bonuses. It also found that head coach Sean Payton was complicit in the scheme and tried to cover it up, and that he and general manager Mickey Loomis failed to shut it down when ordered to do so by team owner Tom Benson. Since then, Williams has been accused of operating similar schemes during his tenure as defensive coordinator of the Houston, Tennessee Oilers Titans and the Washington Redskins, and as head coach of the Buffalo Bills. On the 21st of March, 2012, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell suspended Williams indefinitely, while Payton was suspended for the entire 2012 season. It is the first time in modern NFL history that a head coach has been suspended. Loomis was suspended for the first 8 games of the 2012 season. The Saints organization was fined $500,000 and forced to forfeit their second-round draft selections in 2012 and 2013. Sanctions against players will be announced at a later date, pending review by the National Football League Players Association. Tonight we're going to discuss this, and joining me is my friend, Mr. Ben Parker. Ben, welcome to the Phil Nason Show.
Very glad to be here. I'm excited to discuss this.
Okay, that sounds perfect. Now, Ben, can you try to help us unpack this a little more? There's a lot there. Basically, what we have is a big mess, isn't it?
It's a huge mess. And really what has happened, you perfectly explained what happened during that time period. The Saints players were getting paid money, getting rewards for injuring players. One of the major, I guess, issues here that you didn't bring up that is important to bring up is, and particularly for those that are international, those that don't follow the NFL, like us here in the States, is this bounty program that the Saints instituted, as well as Greg Williams and his previous programs. You know, this isn't the first time this has happened. I mean, this has been a part of NFL culture for about 100 years. I mean, as long as the NFL has been in existence, it has been a part of the culture. This is, you know, this goes back to, you know, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, etc. This has been a part of the NFL for a very, very long time. And so one of the things that has people upset, particularly Saints fans, and as well as other players in the National Football League, is the severity of a punishment, the severity of a punishment for a, quote, crime, so to speak, that has been a part of football culture for a very, very long, long time. And so I think that's something that's important to understand, is that, yes, this is bad what the Saints have done, and yes, they should be punished for it. But it's also important to understand that they're not the first team to do it, but they're one of, you know, many, 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 many teams who have done this.
Okay, that sounds interesting. But the thing is it's not about how many teams have done it. It's how many teams have gotten caught doing it. Now, this has been going on for a while. One of the things, and I talked to a couple guys who have a pretty good idea what it's like to play at a high level. And one of them, they both have chosen to remain anonymous, and that's fine. But the bottom line is, the one guy was a cornerback, and he told me that, you know what, when you're playing football, it's a vicious sport. People get hurt on every play. It's just the way it is. But to do it cleanly and to do it legally, if you take a guy and drive him into the ground and he has to be carried off the stretcher and you do it legally, that's one thing. But when you go out to deliberately injure people by taking cheap shots because you're getting an extra incentive that is illegal to do and against the rules, then that takes it to a different level. You know, professional athletes, as a rule, don't try to take a person out forever. That's what these guys were trying to do, is destroy people's careers. And that's a very egregious violation of professional athletes, kind of like an unwritten code. You don't try to destroy a human being. Okay, that's the difference between being a human being and being an animal. Now, just because everyone else has done it, and that's true, they have to some extent, I'm sure of that, doesn't make it right.
No.
And the problem we have here is this. It's not just that they got caught. That's not why Sean Payton has been suspended for an entire season. It's because they lied about it. That's why he has been suspended, and that's why these other guys have been suspended, because they were caught red-handed, and rather than coming clean with the commissioner of the league, they lied to him and tried to cover it up. That's also an egregious error, and Roger Goodell didn't have any other choice but to suspend these guys for what he did. He had to lay the hammer down, and he laid the hammer down, didn't he?
He absolutely did. He walked and did it. And one of the things that Roger Goodell has really made a priority ever since he became commissioner, is player safety. And so he has really tightened up the rules on hitting, on also tied up the rules on concussions. So if a player gets a concussion, there's a lot more tight rules now regarding when a player can, how many games a player needs to sit out. Lots of NFL players, namely James Harrison of the Pittsburgh Steelers, has really complained about Roger Goodell's toughness on illegal hitting. You know, a lot of the hits that used to take place back in the 70s and 80s and earlier that were considered legal hits, maybe a little dirty, but still legal and not flagged for, are now racking up players some pretty hefty fines, and in some cases, suspensions. And so when Roger Goodell is making this type of priority and trying to crack down on player safety, which I think is a good thing, and he's trying to clean up the sport, because he already knows it's a violent enough sport, and the last thing he needs is players playing dirty. You know, he finds out that a team is doing what the Saints were doing, being paid to actually intentionally injure players. That goes directly contrary to the type of direction he wants the NFL to go towards and where he wants it to move. And what makes the Saints' decision to cover it up even more ridiculous and stupid, if you ask me, is, listen, you lie to the authorities in any situation, in any sport or in any, if you lie to the government, you're in serious trouble. But Roger Goodell has shown that even players who, you know, make some questionable hits just based off of habits they picked up in high school and college, still going to get fined. And so when you are intentionally doing these, intentionally trying to harm people, then you cover it up, and you know that Roger Goodell is already whacking people good. I mean, for them to try to cover it up, knowing what he's capable of doing and knowing how serious he is about this, really surprised me. Because, you know, as hard as it may be to own up and man up to things, you know, these guys had to know that Roger Goodell is serious about player safety. He's serious about it. And he's the most serious that any NFL commissioner has ever been about player safety. And he's taken it to a whole other level. And he wants the NFL to be portrayed as a clean league and a league that sets an example of sportsmanship. And I think all leagues want that, but he especially wants that because the NFL has had problems, still has problems with players getting arrested and things like that. And people joke about NFL players going to jail and things of that nature and it being a quote thug sport. And I think he's extra sensitive to that, as he should be. And so, he has tried to really, really change the culture in the NFL. And when he found out about this, and then when he found out the Saints were covering up, he really wanted to send a message to the rest of the league that you don't do this. This type of behavior is not acceptable in the NFL anymore. And if you do it, you're going to pay dearly for it. And, I mean, he might as well have taken the Super Bowl out of New Orleans for next season. I mean, he really, really whacked it on these guys. And if there had been any first round picks they would have had this season, those would have been stripped too. So, I mean, just the thing that really does stun me is the fact they would try to hide this when they had to know that this guy was, I mean, serious about this. So that's kind of what I take away from the Saints. We're incredibly stupid to think they could dodge this guy and to dodge it without being hit hard. And I don't think anybody anticipated this type of punishment. But at the same time, with the way that Roger Goodell is trying to change the NFL, it doesn't at all surprise me.
Okay, well, you seem to be saying that Roger Goodell took away their Super Bowl. And I'm going to disagree.
No, I didn't say that.
Okay, that's what I thought you said. Okay.
No. What I said, the Super Bowl is going to be in New Orleans next season, I believe. And so what I'm saying is he might as well have taken the Super Bowl out of the city as well. He might as well have done that. So that's what I meant. Not take away the Super Bowl title. I'm not saying that. That they earned and everything. But I'm just saying that the only thing he could have done worse to the Saints would have been to deprive them of hosting a Super Bowl in 2013, in 2012.
Okay, because I thought what you were meant, where you were going with that would be that because of these suspensions, they lost their opportunity or chance because there's going to be a lot more suspensions. Probably half the defensive team is going to get suspended and probably lengthy. That took away their chance to go to the Super Bowl next year as a team. But here's the thing. The deal is they took it away. The New Orleans Saints took it away. The coaches took it upon themselves to create an illegal opportunity for players to gain extra income by deliberately hurting other players. You know, that to me struck the worst chord of this whole unfortunate song, if you will. These guys, this coach is not a coach. All right. You don't train your guys to break the rules and then pay them extra money to do so. And that's what a lot of people are angry about. When you sit down and think about it, and you know, the National Football League, there is nicknamed not for long. And that's because these guys' careers don't last very long anyway, due to the injuries that they get from the clean legal play. Not to mention some of this nasty stuff. They don't need extra incentive or be out on a field where they could get destroyed legally to then be subjected to being destroyed illegally by some renegade coach and some guys who are amped up to the point where they don't care anymore and they forget about the things that matter, like clean play. Like I said before, the NFL is a vicious place. I mean, in a clean respect. But the things that these guys were pulling, bounties for cardoffs, plays in which opponents were removed from the field on a stretcher, and knockouts where people get just knocked out and gone. And that is just nuts. And to think that a coach was responsible for instigating this in the first place, do you find that heinous?
I absolutely do. And the thing of it was, here's what's interesting about this. A couple of things. This is long before I knew they were actually doing this. And before I go any further, I need to say I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan, everybody. So you can take what I say as somewhat of a bias towards my team. But when I was watching them play against the Vikings in that NFC title game in New Orleans, and throughout that season, I got the kind of the sense that they were kind of a thug team. They were taking cheap shots. If you watch that game, and one of the key kind of clips people were looking at is the treatment of Brett Favre in that game. They were targeting that ankle specifically. They were trying to knock him out of the game, and they were trying to do it at all costs. There's also footage of Steve Smith of the Panthers scoring a touchdown, and them. Long after he's already in the end zone, I believe it was Darren Sharper that went across and decked him on the ground. I already kind of had the feeling they were kind of a thug, kind of a gangster kind of team, kind of a dirty team. I already kind of sensed that. And then Adrian Peterson, a running back for the Minnesota Vikings, openly went out and said that they were the most dirty team he faced in the NFL. I think this was last season he said that. They were the most dirty team he faced that he's faced and that he faces in the National Football League. Because he would talk about him being in piles and stuff, and them, you know, targeting his bad ankle and trying to jab it even after the play was over. And you could say that maybe he was just saying that because he's extra bitter towards them for beating his team in the NFC title game. But Adrian Peterson's a pretty stand-up guy in the National Football League and a well-respected guy. And so for him to go out and say this, and say that they're the most dirty team that he faced in the NFL, was completely backed up by what happened here on March 2nd, finding out about the bounties. So there was already kind of some, at least I thought they were a dirty team. I felt that. And then when I heard they were doing this bounty thing, I was just like, yeah, this totally confirms it. And so to answer your question, whether or not I think it's heinous, I absolutely think it is. Because I've played high school football, and I played it for a couple of years. And one of the things that we would do as a team before every game was we would have a team prayer. And one of the things you would always say in that team prayer was we would always pray and ask God to make sure that nobody got hurt, or at least pray for the safety of all players. That was something we all cared about. And then when another player on the opposing team got hurt, you know, and this is customary of football ethic that you learn in high school, when an opposing player gets injured, we would all kneel down, we would hold hands, and we would hope the guy would get up and respond. And when he would get carted off, we would clap when he got up, or if he, you know, there was sincere concern for our injured players on the other team. And so to me, the thing that came to my mind was, you know, here I am, and here's all these other high school football players who are learning this most of them at least are learning this ethic. Some aren't, unfortunately, but a lot of players are learning that you don't want to see the opposing player get hurt. And when they do, You take time to respect them and you wish them the very best and you hope they get back playing healthy, because it is a game, it's a sport. And so I think that when young kids are hearing about these NFL guys going after trying to intentionally injure players and being rewarded for it, it sets a horrific example for kids who are playing the sport. It teaches some young kids that, yeah, it's okay to play dirty. It's okay to go out and knock people out. It's okay to try to injure players. And if I do, I'll get rewarded for it. And so it's a truly a horrible thing, and I'm really glad, and I truly applaud Roger Goodell for taking the steps that he did to lay this down on them, because this is the type of shockwave that not only will resonate through the whole NFL, but I think will also trickle down and permeate through all of football, collegiate and also high school, because I think guys that are aspiring to play at the next level will know, hey, this type of behavior is not acceptable at the highest level. It's not needed. I don't need to be a dirty player to play in the NFL, because if I play dirty, I'm going to get fined and I'm going to get suspended and I'm not going to have a job. So I really do applaud Goodell for not only trying to change NFL culture, but also trying to change football culture as a whole. And for that, I applaud him.
Okay. That's a good thing. Cause the point is this, it's, and I wouldn't say that these guys started out this way as hoping that people get hurt. You know, you don't want to see anyone get hurt if you're an athlete, because it could happen to you. You know, it happens to everyone eventually. Very few guys play their entire careers without getting hurt, and that's in any sport. But for the coach to instigate this, and there are people saying, wow, what a suspension. 1 year for the head coach. This dude, Williams, he's gone.
He's done.
He's done forever.
Yeah.
Not for 1 year, not for 2 years. He's done forever. And rightly so. You know, rightly so. He purposely, intentionally broke the rules. He's supposed to know the rules. You know, the players will only go as they only do what they're told in most cases, because this man had the, keys to their livelihoods. He could have just cut them or had them cut if they didn't do these things. Now, I don't think he put this as a, you do this or else, but goodness, some of the things that have come out about this, how fired up these guys would get and how amped up this man got them with these bounties. It is heartbreaking. And what you said is absolutely correct, Ben, is that hopefully this sends a message. But the bottom line is this, a true athlete never wants to see anyone else get injured. You know, we don't do these things. We don't try to intentionally injure people with our bodies, with our God-given talents, and we don't try to injure people with our mouths either. You know, and that's a very sad thing to see what's going on in the NFL. It's really good that this commissioner stepped forward. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think that the penalties were too severe for, like, Coach Sean Payton? Should he have been suspended for the entire season?
I actually think he should have been. And the reason why is because, ultimately, it comes down to this. If you are the head coach of a football team, it is your responsibility to know what's going on in your team, both offensively and defensively. And so when something of this type of magnitude is going on in your program, it is your ultimate responsibility to A, put a stop to it, B, report it, and C, make sure it never happens again. And he didn't do any of those three things. And with the direction that the NFL is trying to go, I think particularly, and you touched on this earlier, and I'll reiterate this, the fact that Sean Payton flew out to New York to see, I believe it was New York he went out to see the commissioner. He flew out to meet with him and talked about this. And he tried to cover it up and he tried to say that he didn't know what was going on, which is absolutely ridiculous. Because if he didn't, it means he's an irresponsible head coach. He needs to be suspended for being responsible. But he tried to cover it up and tried to sort of weasel his way out of it in front of the commissioner. And so I think had he owned up and admitted that it went on, and he said it was on him, it was my mistake, I knew what was going on. Had he told the commissioner that, I do not think he'd be getting a year suspension. I think he would be getting probably maybe even half a season or 4 to 6 game suspension just for what he did. But then to tack on top of that, to lie to the commissioner, I mean, listen, if people are going after Barry Bonds for lying to the jury about his steroids thing, and people giving heat to Mark McGwire for lying in front of Congress, then people should be punishing this guy for lying to the commissioner of the NFL. He should be. And so you sort of combine the lying and trying to get out of it on top of what he already did or what he knew. He absolutely had to. And one of the things that really disappointed me this week was Drew Brees of the Saints, their quarterback, who is the face of that franchise and the face of that city. And he sent out a tweet, and what he said was he in essence defended his coach, saying that Sean Payton was a great guy, a mentor, and a teacher. And the key phrase he said was, he says, "I need an explanation for this," as in he needs an explanation for this punishment. And that really disappointed me, because there was a chance for him to sort of step up and sort of say, yeah, this was really bad, and I apologize, and this is not something that New Orleans Saints football is about or what it's about going on forward. And so I was especially disappointed to, and I don't want to necessarily bring down Drew Brees, but I was really, really disappointed with, I mean, and it's understandable to defend your guy, of course, but I was really disappointed that he would send out a message of, why us and play victim. I thought that was really, really unfortunate.
Okay, because you mentioned something. You mentioned Drew Brees. You know something, though, Ben? I'll tell you this. It's not surprising that Drew Brees would stand up for his coach. You know, the quarterback and the head coach are very, very, become very, very close.
It is. Sure.
And I get that, okay? But there's all kinds of speculation about how much Drew Brees knew. Drew Brees, like you said, is the face of that team. Not only that, but he's the captain of that team. And not only that, he's a head honcho with the Players Association. How much do you, it seems to me that he probably knew a lot more than what he's letting on.
Oh, for sure. I absolutely think he knew what was going on. And because he wasn't a defensive player, he can hide behind saying, and listen, I mean, I don't think he should necessarily be suspended or anything, or because he wasn't directly involved with it as a player in terms of being a defensive player, but certainly he knew about it, and certainly he was fully aware of what was going on. And like you said, with his ties to the Player Association, I mean, he also should be concerned about player safety. And so I guess what I was really disappointed in was that, I mean, you know, was the fact that he had to send out a message in essence stating that you know he needed an explanation. It's like, you really need an explanation for why your coach got suspended when he lied to the authorities. I mean, it's pretty clear why he got suspended. So but he absolutely had to know what was going on, particularly with how close he is to Sean Payton. He's very close to him, and being the face of that team and that organization, and also to go a step further, the face of the city of New Orleans, if you ask me right now, he's the face of that whole city, due to how much that Super Bowl meant to them. He had to have known. He did know. I don't think he should be suspended, but I mean, I was just disappointed, honestly, that he had to send a message out, in essence, stating that he didn't think it was that big of a deal and that they were somehow victims or something like that, because they definitely are not. And like you said, it's on them. It's their fault, and they put themselves in this mess.
Yes, they did. You know what? One thing that we have to be very careful about, though, is that we don't really know what he did or did not know. But it does seem to be that there's a probability that he did. Now, I doubt that he and his head coach would have talked about that, because, you know, why would the coach tell his quarterback, by the way, we're doing illegal stuff, but don't worry. But the other thing is this, you know, these guys as a team are usually pretty close. When you're the quarterback, you're involved with the defense too, in ways off the field. You're involved with these guys. You become friends because you're combatants. He probably did know something. I doubt that the NFL will come down on him.
Well,
you don't know. It depends on how much he really did know or how much he was involved in. You don't really know. Maybe he could have put money into the pot. You don't know. And that would make him complicit then.
Okay, then yeah.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. But here's the thing, though. We have to be very careful about this. We're not making these insinuations. We're just discussing the possibilities. Now, but here's the thing. Drew Brees, the explanation that he's looking for is, where's your proof? And because he's a big shot with the Players Association, that's what he was basically saying. I doubt he got to pick up the phone and talk to the commissioner himself. So he used the tweet to say, I need an explanation. And I'm sure one will be given to him because Drew Brees, by all accounts, is a very credible citizen and, more importantly, a very credible face of the NFL in a good light. So that's what we hope. Now, here's the thing, though, with me is this Jonathan Vilma. He's a linebacker. He was the spearhead of all this. Yeah. He was the big catalyst in all of this. Now, we don't know what Goodell's going to do. But here's the thing. What he's laid down are these suspensions to these fellas, these coaches, and they are severe. You're right about that. What do you think he's going to do with Vilma?
Oh, geez. I don't know. I don't think Jonathan Vilma wants to find out. Okay, first of all, I think it's going to be pretty severe. I know that he was specifically offered $10,000 to take Brett Favre out of the NFC title game. He specifically was offered that. So that's one thing to sort of tack on. I read that. But I think Vilma is going to get, in all likelihood, he's going to get fined, first of all. Probably somewhere between $100,000, $200,000, something like that, probably. And he's probably facing a suspension of not a year. I don't think he's going to get a year. But anywhere between 4 games on the very lightest I could possibly see. But probably more in the range of 6 to 10 game suspension is probably what he is facing. Being the spearhead of all of it, as you so accurately dubbed it, he was the spearhead of it. He's probably facing 6 to 10 games. My guess is that Goodell's probably going to target a couple of key players, Vilma being one of them, and really lay down some hefty punishments on them. And then other players that were involved, if you were to say the 27th guy that was involved with it, that you participated in it, you're probably facing a fine. But I think Vilma's getting in the range 6 to 10 games and probably like maybe $100,000 fine, or maybe less than that, but definitely 6 to 10 game suspension for him, I think. Yeah, I mean, that's all I can figure. Cause I mean, here's some food for thought here. And the Ben Roethlisberger rape case that he went through, and even though he hasn't been found officially guilty of that, and even though he got off and didn't serve any hard time for that, even before any sort of judicial process had taken place for Ben Roethlisberger, he still got 4 games. Okay, this is without Goodell even letting the judicial process resolve itself. He gave Ben Roethlisberger 4-game suspension. So with Jonathan Vilma being, if he finds him guilty of this, which sounds like he has or close to, he finds him guilty of something of this nature, he's got to give him at least 6 to 10 games, because otherwise it looks like he'd be sort of contradictory to how he's handled previous player suspension. So look for a 6 to 10 game suspension for Vilma, folks, and adjust your fantasy rosters accordingly. Don't draft him.
Okay, I hear you, but you know what? I don't think he's going to get 6 to 10 games. I think he's going to get a lot longer one. All right. He was the spearhead of this. He could have put a stop to this too. You know, he's just as culpable as his defensive coordinator who got basically a lifetime ban. You're going to see Jonathan Vilma, and I'm not advocating this, but my opinion, I think what's going to happen is he's going to be suspended for longer than a year. He was culpable. He encouraged it, and he rounded up the guys from what we've read. Now, we don't have all the information, obviously, but from all appearances, it looks like he was the one who brought the boys in, all right? He's the one who helped put the money in the pot, collect the money, and pay the money out. He knew what was going on. He recruited people, and he willfully went out to destroy the careers of his fellow colleagues, if you will, his fellow NFL football players. Now, this is another thing. And if you're him, would you ever want to step on the field again with these guys?
No.
Because I'll tell you what, There's justice out there. You'll see that. And here's the thing with this Brett Favre thing, and the week before with Kurt Warner, and there are other ones like Aaron Rodgers and Cam Newton from last year, you know, Saints are in trouble. And then when you have an agent, Reggie Bush's agent, Michael Ornstein, who's involved as well, he's the one who contributed $10,000 to the pot in 2009, and who knows how much in 2011, you've got big problems there. And it's all going to fall on Mr. Vilma's head, I'm afraid. And rightly so. I'll bet you right now, Jonathan Vilma feels ashamed for what he's done, because when he sits back and thinks about it, he's going to go, wow, I cannot believe that I was a part of this, that I would purposely injure a fellow competitor on purpose, whether it was clean or dirty. And that's what these guys were doing, because they were going after that extra incentive bonus. You know, there's others out there who say, well, isn't it hypocritical that these guys get paid incentive bonuses in their contracts legally for amount of tackles, interceptions, and different things? It's a part of professional sports. They all do that. But when you offer extra incentives outside of your contract, and these incentives included injuring people so that they could not go on the field, what you've done is create an environment for the type of things that you mentioned before with Favre, with Kurt Warner, and those playoff games where they were going after people. It's one thing to go after the quarterback. That's your job. If you knock him on his backside and he doesn't get back up and you do it clean, then by all means, it's on you. Brett Favre doesn't give a rip. He knows the risks. Everyone out there in the NFL knows the risks. And they're also, it's well known whether there are incentives for this or not, there are dirty players out there. Normally, the teams police themselves. In this case, these people were encouraging their players to go out and purposely injure their opponents. For me personally, I think that the head coach should have gotten the same thing. Now, I don't have any ill will toward anyone here. I don't personally have any dog in this race other than to say that this is a disgrace to the NFL. Commissioner Goodell did a great job with that by doing a very difficult task and taking on a very difficult task and doing so in a way that hopefully sends a message to the NFL that these types of things, while we know they go on, these should not happen. And that's basically all I have to say about this. Ben, you have anything further to add?
Not a whole lot to add, other than just once again, I want to applaud the commissioner for his decision and to lay down the law on this. And I just hope it does change the culture of football. It may not right away, but hopefully it will in time. And one of the things too, I think that really is really sad about this situation that we haven't really discussed, but probably should be addressed before we close with this topic, is just the fact that the New Orleans Saints, when they won the Super Bowl, and even before that, when they reopened the Superdome, that first game back from Hurricane Katrina, and then winning the Super Bowl, they were such a feel-good story. And, you know, everybody in the United States was cheering for them. They became sort of America's team. And in a sense, people were rallying behind these guys. There was, you know, I think everybody in America was cheering for them. And I mean, I was as a Vikings fan, I still, you know, didn't like them because they knocked out my team. But even I sort of had the sort of sense of, well, it's good for New Orleans, good for that economy. Those people have been through a lot. That team means a lot to that city. So you know what? Good for them on winning that Super Bowl and, you know, and everything like that. It was a real feel good kind of story and how much it was lifting the city. And we've already talked about how Drew Brees has been a real inspiration to a lot of people. And he's been overall done a lot of really, really good things, you know, building up that community and inspiring a lot of hope. That Super Bowl title brought a lot of hope to people. And I think what's really, really tragic is I think that in the ensuing months, people are going to look back at that Super Bowl title as tainted. This taints their legacy. This taints their Super Bowl run, and it taints this whole kind of era that they've had. It just does. And because when people think about the Saints in the Super Bowl, they say, "Yeah, those were the guys that were being paid to go on injured players. That was the head coach that let that happen. That was the defensive coordinator that instigated all that." And people are going to remember them, unfortunately, probably more for that. And so I just think that's a real unfortunate thing. The people I feel most bad for, ultimately, are the people of New Orleans who have been loyal supporters and followers of this team. And I've seen their team be found guilty of such heinous acts. I find that to be really tragic.
Yeah, okay, it's tragic. You're right. It is tragic. But you know what? Actions have consequences.
Absolutely.
And they're very lucky that they didn't get that taken away from them, that Super Bowl victory. They're very lucky. I don't think he could have done it, and I'm glad that he didn't do it. And, yes, the city of New Orleans, they had a tough time, and it was a great feel-good story. But now I don't look at it as a feel-good story anymore. No. When I realize that this coach went out and purposely encouraged his players, his defensive players, with financial incentives to go out and harm their competitors in order to give them an edge. Perhaps he didn't believe in their offense enough or whatever. But needless to say, that's that. We wish all the parties involved a lot of luck. I feel really bad for these guys, honestly, because when it really hits them, and it probably has for many, they're going to be ashamed, and I hope that they feel it for a while, and then they get over it, and they go on and do something to change things, or do something to encourage that change that needs to take place. We don't need renegades out there injuring people on purpose. It's a vicious enough sport without adding to it. And that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Phil Nason Show. Special thanks to my guest, Ben Parker, for helping us out here with everything. I'll leave a link to his basketball blog. We were going to talk some hoops tonight, but unfortunately, our time is up. So until next week, and next week, Ben will be back, and we'll do the basketball thing. We got all kinds of great things. And in a couple weeks, I'm going to have a very big announcement, something that you're all going to probably enjoy. Until then, you all take care of yourselves. Good night.